made it one more time. Thanks to our song leader, scripture readers. You know, I'm fully aware, and I hope that you are, that God missed a good opportunity to end all this today. There are so many that we love that we've lost. There are things that are good, but there are things that are always difficult in our world. God has chosen some ways to help us live in this imperfect world. And I'd like to talk about that for just a little while this morning. If you would pray for me, I appreciate that. If you want to pray that I'll end soon, that's all right too. But I moved to Henrietta, Texas in 1960 with my family. And on the first Sunday that I was there, I said to the congregation, if you have something that you don't like, if it's something I say from the pulpit, if you disagree with me or whatever, would you come to me and talk to me first before you talk to anybody else? You know, I still subscribe to that today, but I remember that one of the deacons said to me, man, are you in trouble? He said, people are just, they're going to do all kinds of things complaining. Well, there were a few complaints, but I had great success in having them come to me rather than come to someone else. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit about our leadership here in this congregation today. I'd appreciate it if you'd listen to me. If you have something that I say that I don't, that you don't like, talk to Shirley. She didn't know I was going to say that. So, when God instituted what he called, what Jesus said, I will build my church, we are all aware that the church is composed of imperfect people. And sometimes you may wonder, I don't. I've been doing this now for, I'm pushing my 70th year. But I remember being at places where one person was determined to run the church. And if you didn't do it their way, you were in trouble, because they were in charge. Now, I didn't like that, so I got in trouble a lot along the way. But I had the book, God's Word, with me, so that when something came up that we needed to talk about, that we could go to the Word of God. I apologize ahead of time to the person who's doing the wonderful work on the computer back there, but I probably won't pay a whole lot of attention to all the help that they could give me. But I want, for just a few minutes, to extrapolate on this statement that was read as one of our scripture reads. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which or whom the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed or shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Now, we talked about the blood. The church is the blood-bought, spirit-filled body of Jesus here on earth. And if we keep that in mind, and we endeavor to follow what Jesus told us to do, we can do the best job. Why did God choose to have more than one person in the eldership? I'd like to tell you before I forget it, and I do forget stuff sometimes. At least I'm told that I've forgotten stuff. But I am getting a little bit older. But I think I remembered forgetting stuff when I was young. Anyway, as we endeavor to do the will of God, in working in the eldership, it takes more than one person. And I want to commend the men with whom I serve in the eldership here. I realize that you asked us to serve. And we are fully aware that we are not perfect. Now, maybe Mark is, but I'm not. I work and serve with some very humble men. And if you could hear all of our prayers, and I wish you could, you'd know that we love God above everything else, and we love each and every one of you. I spend hours praying for you as individuals, and I know that the other elders do that also. And I'm grateful that we have the unity of purpose and strength to do the will of God. And I tell you that if you have something that you would like to talk to us about, we're there. And we'll make time for you. But in the meantime, we'll do the very best that we can and we'll pray for you. As Paul talks to these men, these elders of Ephesus. Now, he passed by Ephesus on his way there, and then he sent, in verse 17, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And there are a few verses that I want to look at and pick some things out of here in a short period of time. Shirley has already given instructions to someone. If I fall down in a pile, they're supposed to come pick me up. And that'll mean it's over. You know, you can go home if that happens. I am so grateful to God that I am able to look back and to see all of these things. I have to tell you that I entertained the idea of starting back in 1950 and coming forward and telling you about places that I have worked and some things that happened. Some of them funny, some of them not funny, especially to me. But I decided that maybe I would just encourage you to help us, the eldership here in this congregation. One of the things I'd like to start with, and I don't have any notes here, so I'm just flying by my wings. One of the things that we're considering is endeavoring to get other men to work in the eldership. There are four of us now, but there are some others that we believe would make us stronger. And it's obvious to me, if not to you, that one day soon I will have to step down because of my health. And, you know, they may have to drag me out of the room. I love serving other people. And I work with men who love that. I have not seen one single selfish thing done. As we talk about the work, and as we talk about you, and we pray for you, as we have said over and over again. But Paul called these men to meet with him. And he says to them in verse 28, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Have you ever been able, when we take of the Lord's Supper, to go to the cross and actually feel like when you finished that you got there? I'm still working on it. I don't want to see that scene. I don't want to live through that scene. But I think I need to go there often to realize what Jesus did for me. I was thinking this morning when we found out that one of our dear brothers has a migraine headache. If you've never had a migraine headache, you don't know what it's like to get within inches of death. I've never experienced anything that was greater than that pain. And I've been there. My doctor finally got tired of meeting me at 3 o'clock in the hospital to give me a shot. And he said, "I'm going to give a notice to the nurse. I'm going to write out a prescription so you don't have to call me or they call me at 3 a.m. to give you a shot." I took it home and put it under the answering machines for the telephone. And I haven't had a migraine since. I have no explanation for that, but praise God that if you've experienced that, you know it's very painful. But what Jesus did for us was far beyond any pain that we could ever feel, because he had the burden of all of our sins upon him. And it's so important for us to realize that what he decided for us to do, and I'm talking about the leadership now, it's possible for us to have the right kind of leadership. And I'm asking you on behalf of those of us who are serving as elders that you pray daily, several times, for us, that we might get the help that we need to make this congregation exactly what it ought to be. Now, I want to touch on one other thing, and I'm closing my Bible. If I don't, it'll keep preaching. He warns those men, "From among yourselves, men will arise to speak perverse things and to draw people after them." We must constantly be on guard to make sure that we do the will of God. And it's so easy to make mistakes. We need to work so so that we don't. And I'm pleading with you today, please pray. Please pray that we may get some additional help in the eldership. And we've talked about this too. We need some deacons in place. Because that's what God has designed. Anything that God has designed is good. If it doesn't work, it's because we don't do it the way God set it out. And there's a lot more that I'd like to talk to you about. And maybe I'll get a chance to do that some other time. But I want you to know that I love you, and I know for sure that the other men who are serving in the eldership love you. And we have tears of sorrow when things bad happen. I often think when we go through things like we've gone through, that if Jesus were here, all he had to do is touch people, get them by the hand, say, get up and go with me. But there's something greater than that. And that's eternal life in the presence of God. And I look forward to that. And I hope that you do. I know sometimes we say, oh, well, I'm ready to go. What if God said right now? I might say, well, Lord, wait, I've got something else I need to do. I'm trying to say to Him, whatever else you have for me to do, I'll do it. But when you get ready for me to leave this land of mortals, I'm ready to do that. Are you ready today? If you're not, we'll help you with anything that we can do. I know that most of you know this, but I want to remind you that I've had the privilege, while here, of baptizing a number of young people. Two of them were great-grandsons of mine and Shirley's. And it was such a joy, and will continue to be for years to come. If we can do anything to help you in any way, please let us know. If you want to come forward today, that's fine. We're going to stand and sing the song that our brother has selected for a closing or for an invitation song. I appreciate Jeff so much. If I were still young enough, I'd take him on the road with me. We'd go preach everywhere, sing.
Let's go.
See, he's ready to go.